Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I struggle on a day like this, Father's Day, which is not really in the liturgical calendar, not really in the lectionary, and sort of blending that message and this day with the text. And I think I've probably going to short-circuit Father's Day and short-circuit the text, but still have a message on doing what is difficult. Toward the end of my father's life, he said a haunting thing. I'm not sure he was in the hospice bed in Spartanburg, whether he was saying it to me or whether he was just saying it out loud. He was looking up at the ceiling and he said, I thought there would be more time. I thought there'd be more time. But what do you do with time? I started thinking, if you stay the same and you stay where you are and do nothing new or nothing risky, I believe you are wasting time. Time is that precious period between the beginning and the end where you have the opportunity to grow and to change. And if you don't, then you are wasting time. If you don't grow and change inside yourself and change at least some of the things which you can change out in the world, then what was your life for? I love the sort of confused wisdom of Yogi Berra, and I have to explain that that's not Yogi Berra the cartoon figure, that's Yogi Berra the baseball guy. And he said once, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's the thing. Yeah, which fork? That's the rub. Robert Frost, in a much more poetic way, said the same thing. He said, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. A path chosen makes a difference the rest of your life. Today's scripture finds Jesus saying, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And if you read the rest of that chapter, take no money. You will be rejected in some places. You will be brought up on charges in some places. You may even be turned into the authorities by friends and family for following me. Follow me anyway. Endure to the end. The tone is the same as the one single verse found in the middle of the eighth chapter of Mark, where Jesus says simply, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And that reminds me of another of my father's sayings. He said, anything worthwhile will be difficult. It's a simple law of physics that on this earth with our gravitational field, the only possible destination, if you always take the path of least resistance, keep taking the path of least resistance, the only place you can end up is at the bottom of the hill. And maybe that is why Scripture refers to the journey of faith as an upward climb. And so many of the mountains in Scripture are considered holy places, and Jesus very often would go up on the mountain to pray, or on the Mount of Transfiguration to reveal who he was. The path through this world of most resistance, most determination and focus is the upward path toward God. Life is a journey, and you must choose your path. Stand at the crossroads and just stand there and you'll go nowhere. Make no decision, and that in itself is a decision to go nowhere, to waste your time on earth. Life is a journey. And I suppose I should say, even as a preacher, this sounds odd, but it is true. God is optional. You may choose paths unbidden by Christ. You may go many, many places without a cross. You may not deny yourself. You may rejoice in every whim and every wandering desire you have. But where in the journey of life will that path take you? Jesus spoke of a wide, easy way that leads to destruction, and then he also spoke of a narrow, hard way that leads up to life. The destination of destruction is made up, I believe, of a series of easy, coasting, downhill choices. If I am doing my job on every Sunday, one way or another, you should hear me say, choose God. Which way is that? Follow Jesus. And where would Jesus go? Out among the people, offering forgiveness, compassion, love, and grace. And you could ask yourself, I do. Won't that cost me something? You bet. You bet. And Jessica this morning talked of getting outside our comfort zone. And then she made me hold hands with Dr. Baker and Rudy for probably 5 minutes. I was way outside my comfort zone. My hands got sweaty. But that was after I just preached this sermon, so what could I do? Love and faith always involves doing what costs, I think, what costs the most at every turn. Taking the upward narrow road instead of coasting by and pretending and refusing to get involved. If we witness, if we're involved in missions, if we're involved with people, if we're involved in the budget and supporting the programs of the church. In all these ways, faithfulness cost us. It cost us, in the old preacher language, time and talents and treasure. It will cost us emotionally as well. Life continually confronts us with choices. Every day we come to different forks in our path and we have to make a choice. I remember years ago I heard the wisdom of an older pastor, and he was talking about from time to time we have to vote pastors out of the conference for indiscretions and breaking their marriage vows. And he said, he was talking about one in this closed ministerial session. He said he made a decision the very first time he had a lunch alone with her and did not tell his wife. Even though that happened years before the actual final blow. We make little decisions every day that set a trajectory for our life. And we think sometimes if there's a good and costly decision that that's a path we won't take today, but we'll come back and we'll take it later. If we're honest about it, we know that we hardly ever do. Maybe you intend to get up and get out and do your faith in a more real way and go back to that old choice that you bypassed, but you may find yourself in bed and old and weak and saying to the ceiling, I thought there would be more time. Yogi Berra aside, you cannot travel two roads at once. Every one of us faces choices, not just superficial, but genuinely significant choices. And we can choose, and sometimes we have to choose before all the evidence is in. And so we must pray to God, give me help, give me guidance, give me wisdom. I really don't know. And sometimes we don't. In another place, Jesus said, you can gain the whole world following your will, but you may lose your soul. Because the path to God does not really involve the signpost of our will at every turn. The path to God lies only in the direction of the harvest out there, of announcing the kingdom come out there, of having no shame in the cross of Christ out there, where people will reject you if you publicly choose to follow Him. The gift of God's love is absolutely free, but just as it cost God the cross to love us, it will cost us in this life to follow Him. Let me tell you about the life and death of a German Christian. I know many of you know the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was well known as a Christian preacher and a teacher, and he could have easily left Hitler's Germany in World War II for safety, but he chose to stay. In April the 5th, 1943, the Gestapo arrested him. He was tossed into prison just a few days before that prison camp, Flossenbürg, was liberated by the Allies. It was liberated on April the 9th, and he was arrested on April the 5th, but just a few days before the liberation, Bonhoeffer was executed. And you need to know that history, that background, so that you'll know that his words do not come cheap. He chose the hard, upward, narrow way, the road of faith, even unto death. This man, this hero of the faith, wrote the following. He said, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Our gospel says that we are to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Do you remember that elsewhere Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God as always involving costly choices? One writer wrote the following. He said, "The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price, to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out or cut off whatever causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. It is costly because it cost us our lives, and it is grace. It is grace because it gives us true life." I like the saying, "Even if you travel in the very best circles, you are still traveling in a circle, going nowhere." The journey and the destination, that's the thing. Not the circle you travel in. And some people forget that life has a destination and is not just, as one lady told me a couple of years ago, she said, "Life is not just one long process of getting tired." I like that. Although it does seem that way sometimes. Some of us wrap ourselves in a particular style or wrap around us particular people, our certain cars, our celebrities, our sports teams, and those are our choices. And we identify with them. And we plan our lives or maybe our vacations or our reading or follow the events of our role models and lift them high and defend their honor. But don't you talk about my team. Don't you put down my favorite actor or actress, or I wouldn't be caught dead wearing less than. And I was going to put some famous designers' names in here, but I don't know who they are. Gucci, Armani, are those still? I don't know. I just wear this black thing, so. You can travel in the best of circles and go nowhere in the end. And some people reduce faith to fate. And I don't like this. I don't think this is proper at all. I've heard people who don't believe they have even the slightest control over their own journey of faith. They think that they have very little to say about what happens. They believe that either God or fate controls their lives. And it's not just God knocking at the door, but that God is knocking at the door, breaking down the door, and handcuffing us and dragging us the way God wants us to go. I don't read Scripture that way. Life, some people will say, just happens, and personal freedom is an illusion. If you believe that, I have to say I don't. I believe that faith involves choices and following and sometimes working things out with fear and trembling, always, always depending upon God for strength and for guidance and for wisdom. But our time and our choices are not meaningless. There are forks in the road up ahead every day, and we choose which way. But some folks talk about their lives like they're riding an escalator and they can't get off. Well, folks, we choose our escalators, and we do see what's slowly coming up ahead, and we watch these things happen. We see what comes next, and then occasionally we have the audacity to pray, "God, why did you let this happen to me?" Is freedom an illusion? I don't think so. How would a righteous God judge unless we can freely choose? It is obviously true that there are some things over which we have no control, and they may affect our journey. We do not choose when we are born. We do not choose where we are born. We do not choose the color of our skin or the color of our eyes. And that is why it is absurd to hate people because of their skin color. It's absurd to hate blacks or yellows or whites or redheaded people with freckles. No one asked for these. And on the other hand, it's absurd to lift high these traits as the greatest good in your life, such as I'm proud of being white or I'm proud of being black or whatever. Proud of what? You weren't given a choice. And no matter what race or other thing, for all of us, time runs out. And as our time runs out, the limitations on our lives pile up. It's always time to choose which way. It is choices that matter. And if we cannot find a higher thing to live for than the accident of our birth, then we are sad indeed. You're traveling in a very small circle if the best thing you've ever done is be born in a particular family, or a particular nation, or a particular race. The kingdom of God has come near. The scripture says that harvest time is now. We are to go and we are to tell and witness and face rejection if it comes, and Jesus says it will. To trust God above all else. It will not be easy, but it will be real and it will make a difference. It will not be easy, but it will be real and make a difference. The principle that I'd like you to ponder as you leave today is one that I lay out and one I think is worth considering. Doing what is difficult at every turn, praying to God for guidance, that is faith. I believe that is the best definition of faith.